I am in Utah. I've been in and out of Utah more than once in the last 2 weeks that I have been in the Southwest, making my way down from Colorado and then on into Arizona, bombing around Arizona, Casa Grande, back up to Lake Roosevelt, and that area a couple of different times, and then all the way back up to Page to see some friends in Page. We're going to talk about that a little bit in this podcast, but we're going to talk about breaking news because I did a podcast with my friend Don. We talked about some breaking news items, and it piqued my interest to talk about podcasting is not a breaking news medium. We'll talk about that, among other things, in podcast 1019, podcast 1019, the Bob Davis Podcasts. So I've been talking a lot about this device that I have called the Pep Wave, which is administered by the folks at privacypost.io, and they do things with it that make it secure. For example, there's a VPN inside the hardware, and there's all kinds of other details about it. If you want to learn more, go to privacypost.io or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. I can't emphasize too much the value of independently owned and operated refueling stations across the country when it comes to lower prices. So in Minneapolis, the independently owned and operated community-focused refueling station at 36th and Lindale Avenue in the Lynn Lake neighborhood in Minneapolis is your independently owned and operated refueling station. They get a better deal on fuel. They pass it on to the customers. And that's not all they do. They're into the community, and they feature a great selection of locally sourced products in the store. So the store at 36th and Lynn is the special sauce, and they're always busy, partially because of the price of the fuel and also because of the store. Remember 36th and Lynn, next time you swing through Minneapolis, you need gas or a cup of coffee or candy or whatever you want. More information on 36th Lynn events available online at 36lynn.com. That's 36lyn.com, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Yeah, I'm in Utah, making my way way up north to Page after being in Casa Grande, and I'm spending more time in individual states. Spent a lot of time in Colorado, camped in a lot of different places in Colorado, and did the same thing in Arizona, and I guess I'm going to be doing this in Utah. I was going to head back down to Scottsdale, change plans, heading back out west. So after this, I am north of Page, almost to Bryce Canyon. And I'm probably going to go back west towards Nevada. And I might go to Oregon. Haven't decided yet. Hopefully, I will. But I'm not going to be spending too much time in Oregon. I want to get back into Nevada and Arizona and all around in here in the Southwest, because it's getting late in the year and I'd prefer to be warm. Now, I'm way up north, north of Page, in southern Utah. Beautiful days, cool nights. So we're already to the point now down here where they're saying that they're starting to close parks. And when I was at Lake Roosevelt, which is way south of here, obviously in Arizona, I noted the fact that the campgrounds were and are basically already closed. They're open. You can camp in them. I'm talking about the National Forest campgrounds, but there's no camp hosts. Those guys have left. We are dealing with a breaking news story that has to do with nomad life and van life. And I did a podcast with my friend Don in Casa Grande, Arizona, at his house. I often do podcasts when I swing through with Don, and we, you know, we're a couple of radio guys, and we ended up talking about some breaking news stuff. And Don at one point was like, well, are you going to update the stuff that we talked about? And I said, no. And the reason is that podcasting is not a breaking news medium. So what happens is when you do breaking news stuff in podcast, the comments, relevance and the sharpness generally fades pretty quickly. I mean, you can update hour to hour if you're doing talk radio or television. And of course, everybody does a promo for tomorrow's show, and they can always say, hey, new information on the da-da-da-da-do. And that is not the way podcasting works. Now, there are day-to-day podcasts. There's day-to-day financial podcasts. There are day-to-day news podcasts. But in those podcasts, even those podcasts tend to fade with time, and they tend to concentrate on analysis that's really evergreen. And I think that's good because, in fact, I think there's too much breaking news and too much of a rush to judgment in broadcasting and updating. And a lot of people do that in podcasting because they think that's what they're supposed to do. You know, here's what we know. Here's what we know now. Here's what we knew. And the truth is, when you're doing all this breaking stuff on anything, you got to ask yourself, what do we really know? Or what do we know really? So in this podcast, I want to talk a little bit, kind of a podcast consciousness meeting, talk a little bit about why I do these podcasts, what I talk about in these podcasts. If you haven't listened to the 100 or so podcasts or more that I've done just about on Nomad Travel and the series of podcasts that I did over the years traveling, then this will be kind of a review. If you've listened to them, then you'll understand where I'm coming from to a certain degree. But I'm going to talk a little bit about our reality, quote unquote, our reality too, in podcast 1019. So yeah, there was an old comedy group back in the day called the Fire Sign Theater. And their sort of signature line was, what is reality? What is reality? And in these podcasts, I like to talk about the internal processes that we nomads deal with. And the reason is, I have often said that I'm not going to tell you the best battery to get or how to build a lithium battery. I'm not going to tell you how to make sure that the roof of your RV or whatever you're driving doesn't leak. I'm not going to give you the best route to Bryce Canyon, you know, because frankly, I don't care. You know, people are always telling you, this is how you go and this is what you're supposed to do. And sometimes I listen and sometimes I don't, because I want this to be a process of discovery. As far as giving people advice and telling them what they should do and so forth and so on, I just don't feel the highest level of competence in telling people what they should do. And everybody sort of does what they do. And there's an awful lot of that in the nomad travel genre, whether it's YouTube or podcast, people telling people what they're supposed to do and how they're supposed to do it. Nobody's really talking about the internal processes that we go through. And so telling people how to empty their black water tanks or whatever they're called, or the best campsite in Utah is, I don't know. I don't like telling people, oh, you should go here or you should go there, because you go and it's, you know, we should find it ourselves. It should be something that we, a process that we go through themselves. And I'm not going to talk about those things like levelers and stuff, unless those people are sponsors and I have some personal experience with the product and I can feel a sense of confidence talking about it. Because the truth is, I don't really care about that stuff. And what excites me are the changes that we nomads go through doing this. And again, nobody out there really talks about it. In fact, I was just in Page, Arizona, where my friend Shelley, who just bought one of those little Airstreams, and her friend Al are hanging out. Al rents a house there every year, and Shelley and Al are both what I would refer to as master travelers. Shelley was a flight attendant for many, many years, still is a flight attendant for Delta, and Al is a retired 747 pilot. So they've been around and they know how to travel and they know the deal, right? So it's a very interesting process listening to her go through the discussion of how she made the decision to buy the trailer and go on the road, and why she bought a trailer and all those kinds of things, and her asking questions about, well, what about this and what about that? And I'm generally saying, you know, just let it unfold, because it will unfold. But it's interesting because she's going through this as well. Society in general, I think, and when I say society, you know, everything's a social structure. Van life and nomad life is a community. So there's a social structure involved in it. But society in general, by what I mean by society in general, is towns and cities and places where people live a stationary life. They really struggle, generally speaking, this has been my experience, to really understand what to do with us nomads, especially when something bad happens. And I've certainly stated my concerns with the whole nomad community recently, because there's more and more of these people. And probably one of the best things that was said in podcast 1018 with Don was him talking about his experience in the oil fields when he started in Williston, and they hired 32,000 people in Williston, North Dakota, which is a very small town in a very short period of time. And suddenly there were all these national news stories about what it was like to work in the oil fields, and it's so awful and horrible and on and on and on. And it's a business, you know, that's been fairly static for years and years and years. So it's, you know, there are technology improvements, but they needed to hire a lot of guys because it was an oil boom, or whatever you want to call it there. It became an oil patch in Williston. And of course, an oil patch is any place where they're drilling for oil. But what we were talking about is how trends have a way of attracting attention in this country. And usually it's negative attention. So as in the case of the Gabby Petito murder, which it is, homicide, everybody feels they have to weigh in, and conversations between two people are one thing, but then when those go into media, they begin to attract attention and people begin to react and things of that nature. And now we've got this conversation has now advanced into psychologists and criminologists and stars and reality TV people, and everyone has to do some kind of video or statement on this breaking news story because they want to be relevant. And so in that context, it won't be long before so-called pundits start pointing fingers and writing 1,000-word pieces about the dangers of this whole nomad thing, and is this out of control, and the parks are full, and what are all these people doing? And it becomes a thing, and then people will talk to you about it. You know, are you sure? And so this is what's happening with Shelley. Are you sure you want to be out there as a woman all alone? And what do you, you know? And the whole point of the Gabby Petito thing was that she wasn't alone. That was the whole point. If she'd been alone, she probably would be alive today. So this is one of the things that I find fascinating. And again, I'm even hesitant to make a comment like these, because this is, you know, you listen to this podcast 10 years from now, you're going to be like, Gabby Petito, who's that, right? Because people will forget. But if you look it up, you'll know. And everyone knows right now because everyone's talking about it. Because anybody who is doing the nomad thing is doing this thing that people who are stationary in quote-unquote society can't understand. And they don't understand because they're not doing it. And I'm not saying they're stupid. I'm not saying they don't know anything. I'm just saying that I would have had judgments about this experience had I not been doing it. And it's a whole different experience doing it from talking about doing it and not doing it. And so this is one of the reasons that I've started to talk about internal processes, because I think that this is really important. Let's talk about paying a fortune for print cartridges when you're trying to run a business on the road, because you keep going to these retail outlets, these big box retailers. Cartridge World can save you up to 30% compared to big box stores. Their cartridges are guaranteed to perform as good as new, free delivery on qualifying orders. They are serving the universe from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Give them a call from anywhere, 763-420-6632. That's 763-420-6632. Or click on the banner at the top of the page of the BobDavisPodcast.com that says Cartridge World and ask the question, why pay more to print? If you call them, you'll find out, because you get a better deal on print cartridges. Cartridge World. Don't forget, if you have invented some amazing product and you're going to run that business from your road, you got to find a good manufacturer here in the United States. If this is you and you're considering American manufacturing, you want DepoStar, the company with the inventor's heart. They're the manufacturer with the inventor's heart. American design, engineering, and manufacturing at DepoStar. DepoStar. DepoStar at DepoStar.com. If you're a nomad, you guys all know that there's the whole I'm worried about you thing, where people think that you've, especially if you sell everything, and you have to, because what are you going to do? Put it all in a storage area and spend $1,000 a month for your storage area? You know, everybody has to basically get rid of what they started with in order to do the nomad thing, because you can't carry it all in your truck. You can only carry so much in your truck, and you don't want the thing full of junk when you are trying to find your digital recorder or a book that you want to read in there. So you have to keep things under control, and you do throw things away. And when people see you doing that, well, in our society, people just don't throw everything away. They don't just throw everything and walk away from a life. But that's the whole thing, in my view, in terms of this experience, is that you are saying, I wash my hands of this old life, and now I'm going to do this, and I don't want to have ties. And I've talked about that in the RV Entrepreneurs Summit podcast a little bit, and I talk about it all the time, this idea that, you know, why would you want to have all this stuff in storage someplace weighing you down? I mean, I have a storage area, which is cheap because I don't have that much stuff in it, but it's stuff from my mom, and we got to figure out what to do with it. And it drives me nuts because I've got the storage area and I don't want to have all that stuff. So this is what I'm saying. And everyone does it, but why do we, you know, everyone does this thing, but this is what happens with the quote, so-called stationary society. They are disturbed by people that basically say, I don't need this stuff. I'm not interested in all this stuff. I don't want to live this way anymore. And I don't have to. And as I've often talked about, you don't have to, because you've got these other tools and you have the technology today that allows you not to have to sit in an office or sit at home. You can be literally anywhere for most quote unquote professions, workers. If they allow you to work remotely, you don't have to have, you know, a home base, so to speak. And this is nothing new. I mean, Shelley and I were talking about this in terms of, and also Al, in terms of where they were based versus where they lived all the years that they were flying, because oftentimes you were based out of San Francisco and you lived in Minneapolis, or you were based out of Detroit and you lived in Minneapolis. So half the time you were in Detroit at a flop house, basically, for flight attendants or pilots, and the other half you were back home in St. Louis or, you know, Detroit or Minneapolis or wherever it was that you were quote unquote from. And so you live a life like that after a while, and you start thinking, what do you mean, where am I from? I'm from a lot of places. And radio is also like that. When you work in radio, you work in a lot of different places, and you learn to learn and become part of a community really fast. I remember the first time I moved away from home, and I think I moved to Baltimore, and I was really iffy about Baltimore. I didn't really like Baltimore, and I spent, after about 6 months or 3 months or something like that, I was like, you know what, this is a really cool place. And so you learn that. So when you move from Pittsburgh to Baltimore to Chicago to St. Louis to, you know, everywhere else, Minneapolis, St. Paul, you start to learn how to affiliate yourself and reorient yourself to a new place and appreciate that place for what it is versus saying, I'm homesick, I don't want to live here, I don't like it here, and so forth and so on. It's easier for us who have been nomadic in that sense to be absolute nomads where I'm home right now. I'm sitting in front of a fire, in a campsite in Utah about 25 miles from Bryce Canyon, you know. And tomorrow I'll be someplace else, but I will be home. And a lot of people can't wrap their head around that. That is just something that they think is crazy. You're some kind of a hobo if you do that. And, you know, I've been spoken to very harshly by family members regarding this kind of thing. Why do we do it? And a lot of this is a review because I've talked about this stuff before. I might say I don't know. You know, I might say I don't know, but I feel called to it. Something said go. And I've wanted to do it for a long time. It's been something that's in my head to do it for a long time. And one of the things I've learned is I'm beginning to understand why. And I think the reason is, for me, that there's a vibration to travel. It's a higher vibration because I've talked about this in a couple of different podcasts. Driving is meditative. Sitting in front of a fire is meditative. There's a lot more to it. But I don't care about politics. Don't even want to talk about politics. I certainly have political conversations with friends, but beyond that, not interested. I stay up on it, but I'm not going to do podcasts about that because I've realized that a lot of that is just you're not going to change anything. You're not going to change anybody else's mind. You're running in place and wasting your time and spinning your wheels with something intellectually that, you know, is not even worth your time. So what happens is I'm here to tell you that the vibration that we feel out here is real. Shelley said, my friend Shelley I was talking about in Page, was talking about how she wants to travel. She was sort of giving me her philosophical view of how she wants to travel. And she said, this is what I've been doing. I go where I feel drawn. And that doesn't mean that there's somebody there that is drawing me, hey, come visit us. Doesn't mean that there's something there that I want to see, but in order to take full advantage of being able to actually wander, I just go where I am magnetically pulled. Now, I know that's a foreign concept, but I thought, boy, that is it. You know, you don't, I've often talked about you need to have an objective and you need to have some kind of plan. And I think you do in order to really enjoy what you're doing when you're traveling. I don't think you can just wander around because it feels purposeless. But what she's saying is it's not purposeless. What I'm doing is I'm going where my intuition sends me. And I thought that's pretty interesting because you would never do that in a static social situation. Because you have a job that you go to every day. You get up and you're like, what are you going to do today? Well, I'm going to work today. And I'm going to go to work and then I'm going to have lunch with the team in the company cafeteria or over at the Asian food store or at the sushi place or have steak or a hamburger someplace. And I'm going back to work. And when I'm done at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, I'm going to drive home and I'm going to make dinner and I'm going to watch 6 television shows and then I'm going to go to bed. Whereas when you're doing this, you're like, do I want to go to Bryce Canyon or do I want to turn right and go back down the hill and go up the other hill towards Nevada when I get up tomorrow? Or do I want to just stay here another night? There's a bunch of other campsites down and over that look pretty nice. Maybe I'll just go over there because it'll be Sunday and people will start leaving. No, it'll be Saturday. See, I don't even know what day it is when I'm recording this. But, you know, it could be Sunday. Doesn't matter. But I'm here to tell you that that vibration and that sense of wonderment is real. And the truth of the matter is, when you're in a place like this campground, and people walk by. We'd rather talk about our rigs than anything in current events. And I suppose if you get to know people to a certain degree, you might talk about current events, you might talk about breaking news, you might talk about certain things in politics or economics or whatever. People might say, what do you think's going to happen or whatever. But for the most part, people are talking about where they're going and where they've been and what it was like here and what it was like there. And they're not talking about all that other stuff. So I don't necessarily want to talk about it. And it is a positive vibe. It's a unique vibe. And that's why we do it. But every now and then there is a breaking news story that you end up talking about in conversation. And the thing about Don and I is it's basically a slice of our conversation. And that often happens. But generally speaking, these podcasts are not focused on breaking news. They are more focused on the internal processes associated with travel and the vibration of travel. And the more I think about it in 2021, if you'll pardon the time reference, you know, or this particular time, the early 20s in America, I think, given everything that's happening, I think being in a moving environment, whether you're at Bryce Canyon or down on the Gulf or in the Tennessee Mountains or in the Northwest or California, wherever you are, I think it's actually the smartest thing that we could do. And I think most of my nomad friends would agree that it's the smartest thing we could do, because you're not in this situation where you feel like you're going to be held down or you can't get away from it. And every time I go into a city, and I now have, people have confirmed this for me, by the way, this isn't something that I'm making up, that when you go into cities, it's the feeling, the intensity, the frustration, the division, all of that stuff is palpable. In other words, you can feel it. And especially when you come down out of the mountains or you come in off the plains where you have been camping and you have been breathing fresh air and you have been feeling and hearing the vibration of the earth and smelling the things that you smell and eating over an open fire. And you go into a city, you can really feel the confusion, the fear, the anger, the frustration, and, you know, I could go on and on, but these really powerful negative emotions. This is the reality of static life today. I just bought this house. If the housing market crashes, am I going to lose it? Everyone's worried about that. You know, what's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that? When you're out traveling, honestly, the only thing that I worry about, if I worry about anything, is when am I going to get my engine overhauled? And I hope that the bumper doesn't fall off, or I got to stop and get an oil change, or whatever. I think about the truck. That's about it. I don't worry about it, because one of the things I've learned is if the truck breaks down, well, you just stop and get yourself a mechanic and get it fixed. So you don't really worry about that stuff. And a lot of times I find after I've been stationary, my mind is working, working, working. And after about 2 days, suddenly you go, wow, I've just been driving and not even thinking at all. I haven't had a thought for the last, you know, 15 minutes or 10 minutes or 5 minutes. Feels like an hour, but it's like a minute. You haven't had a thought. That is amazing. Because that's what this is all about, is this really relaxed, very fun, very positive vibe at a time when the rest of the country is not in that vibe. And that's what's really unique about this. And that's why people want to do it. Because once they've experienced it, they've felt it, they want to feel it all the time. So, you know, it's kind of rambling, almost an easy talker. I did have a sort of a list of things I wanted to talk about. I really wanted to get across to people. I'm not going to be doing breaking news. I don't believe podcasting is a good breaking news medium. I want to use this venue now to just talk about this great vibration that we all feel traveling And now that this is a thing and people are going to be talking about this as a thing, and I'm telling you, you're going to see these articles about what's going on with all these people doing. And look at the reaction in Nomadland, the movie. Oh, do you eat out of a can? And do you, you know, defecate in a bucket? And, you know, is it really that way? Is it like that? And then you have to have this conversation with people about, so what? First of all, that character in that movie didn't care that she was doing all that stuff. She was working through her stuff. And that was ultimately a positive thing. And that was the point of the movie. It wasn't, look at this poor woman. She's almost homeless and she's pooping in a bucket. And no, we don't poop in buckets, depending on what we're driving and how we're doing. And so what if we did? You know, we don't eat out of cans unless we do. Some people do. So what? The thing is, it's the experience. But you're going to see a lot more articles and books and commentary about this is dangerous and why are people doing this? And, you know, you need to sit down with your young children, your 23-year-old quote-unquote children, and you need to talk to them about this van life thing. This is a dangerous thing to do, and on and on and on. And I'm telling you, the real story about why we do this is not getting out, because it's freedom. And freedom is not something that people are feeling in the stationary world right now. We out here on the roads, and it's almost like I want to whisper it because I don't want anyone to know. I don't want the rest of the world to know this. This is something that should be discovered. There's no advice I can give you. There's no to-do list to make it happen. We actually feel freedom, and that is a unique thing today, because when you live in the stationary world, you are not feeling free, maybe because you aren't free. And what implications does that have for health and wealth and our own personal well-being? And I'll let you think about that. Ask a nomad. See what they say. So these days, whether you're on the road or you are working in a static environment, you know, back in the world, so to speak, you know, in order to stay healthy, you got to get up and move. So I want to introduce you to BU. BU gives you a powerful toolbox to help you be your best self right where you are, like at your desk or in your vehicle or whatever you're doing all day long. You can be grounded, you can be centered, you can be calm, you can be stronger, you can be free, and you can be you. Just get the tools for yourself or for your whole team. Visit BUEnterprises.com for more information, or click on their banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. All right, I'm going to close the podcast with some big thank yous, because I'm getting some phenomenal donations. First of all, Dave Forbes, dude, thank you so much for the $100. I wish you could have heard our conversations this weekend about the airline business. You would have loved it, and I really appreciate that. Mark Kennedy just sent me $50. Mark is in, I believe, Kingston, Tennessee. Could be wrong. I don't even know where Kingston, Tennessee is, and I don't know Mark, so I know that he's listening to the Bob Davis podcast, and I really, really appreciate that. Also, Absolute Max, $20. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And my friend Sandra Amiot, listener to the Bob Davis podcast every Tuesday, $20. Thanks, you guys, so much. If you want to make a donation to the Bob Davis podcast, look for the picture of Mobile Podcast Command. Click on the little yellow donate button. That takes you to PayPal, and you can donate. Thank you for the likes and shares on social media. Thanks for listening to the Bob Davis podcast on Spotify, Google Play Music, on Amazon, wherever they are. They're all over the place and right on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Thanks for listening to podcast 1019.